Welcome to This Dev Life, the podcast for developers, where we talk about the daily life of developers, challenges we face, and how we overcome these challenges every single day. Join me and let's have fun together.
Hi, listeners. Good day, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whatever time you're listening to this episode of This Dev Life. Today, we have on the show with us Elijah Oyekunle, who is a software developer. I've known him now for how many years now? About five years. Yeah, over 5 years. And he's been a real chill guy. He's been awesome. So we got Elijah on the show today, and you know, as usual, we'll talk about daily life of developers on this show, and we have Elijah to tell us a little bit more about himself and what he does. So Elijah, we'll give it to you to introduce yourself.
Thanks, Dara. So hi everyone, my name is Elijah Oyekunle. I'm a software engineer at Reflector.io. That's a German company, but I work remotely from Nigeria. My work is focused on backend development. Every day I'm mostly working with Golang, Node.js and Kubernetes. I work on a team of about four other backend engineers that work on the core of the company's product. I've been coding for about 5 years now, right around the time that I met Sarah. So that was my first year at the university, and I've done a lot of things over the years. Played around with front-end development, Drupal, WordPress development, mobile apps, but now I'm focused on back-end engineering and infrastructure development.
Okay. Thanks for that, Elijah. So, If we're going to talk about what a typical day for you looks like, when you wake up, when you sleep, what goes on within that X number of hours that you're active during the day as a developer?
Right. So I sleep around 12 a.m. or 1 a.m. I try to make it earlier, but it's like kind of fighting my nature. So that's when I can go to sleep. Then I wake up around 8 a.m. I'm usually in bed for about an hour, usually just reading something, because my brain is still foggy, so I'm just trying to ease into my day by reading something. It could be a novel, it could be a technical book that I'm reading, it could be an article. So I do that for about an hour, and then that's when I leave the bedroom and go, you know, freshen up, take my bath. I don't eat breakfast because I practice intermittent fasting, so I eat all my meals between 12 p.m. and 6 p.m. So around 9:30 a.m. that's when I, you know, go into my office and then start working on my projects. Usually, if I have emails that I need to respond to, that's what I do first. If I have pending PRs that I need to review from my teammates, I do that first as well. If I have any pending messages, generally that's what I do, and then from there, I usually have a to-do list from the previous day that I just get to immediately and see what I can do. My team has a daily call every day by 12 p.m. Nigerian time. So I usually have about 2 hours, 30 minutes of work before the daily call. And then immediately after that, it's just a short call, like 15 minutes. So that's when I eat my first meal, and then just go back to work around 12:45, and then I do that till about 1:30. That's when I would take a nap, if that's a nap day for me. So some days, if I just feel like taking a nap, usually around 1:30, that's when I do it, about a 1 hour nap. But sometimes there's just a lot of messages that I'm writing, a lot of emails and work, and I just can't take a break. So that's when I just skip naps. But I like taking a nap because it keeps me refreshed for the second part of my day that starts out around 3 p.m. Because if I didn't take a nap around 6 p.m., my brain starts feeling like he can't do anything anymore. But usually having an app helps me stay focused for the rest of the day till about 9 or 10 p.m. So that's what I do. Then around 2:30, that's when I go back to work. If it's a day that I'm running, and I usually run every 2 days, I'm every other day. So today, for example, I'm not running, but I ran yesterday and I'm running tomorrow. So my runs, I have them by 4 p.m. and 4 or 5 p.m. every day. And that's why I have a treadmill at home, because so when I started running, I was running physically, you know, on the road. Just wake up. Yeah, wake up, put on my boots, then hit the road, usually around 6 or 7. But then I noticed that I don't like waking up that early just to run. And if I put it off by 1 or 2 hours, the roads get, the cars are already on the road, and so you can smell the exhaust. Mm. And it's not as comfortable as if you're running very early when the cars are not out yet. So that's when I decided to get a treadmill. So I have a treadmill in the living room that I use. So usually around 4, 5 p.m. It just helps me exercise at my own convenience. So I do that and then take a quick bath, eat my second and last meal before 6 p.m. and then go back to work. So usually what I'm doing at that time isn't going to be a lot of coding. If I have pending tasks though, I try to finish it up then. But around 6 p.m., that's when I do more of a reading, learning phase. I usually have a book that I'm reading, technical book. I try to read that till about 8 p.m. And then that's when I just got a PS4 last week. So
why not PS5?
So for now, that well, it's not released yet, right?
Okay, but you pre-ordered, right?
But, no, we didn't. But I mean, once it's out, we're gonna get it. Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, anyways, so 8 p.m. that's when, you know, that's when that happens. Sometimes it's a movie, sometimes it's a game with my housemates, and that's for about 2 hours to 10. Then I just go to bed and start unwinding. I'll probably read a book for about 1 hour if I sleep. Usually fiction, just something light.
Something light.
Fiction or...
Give me something light.
Or a little bit of history, something like that. So then about 12, it's about
12:01, thereabouts. Okay.
Yeah.
So I noticed in your day, there's a lot of reading. You read when you wake up, you read during the day, you read in the evening, you read before bed. That's a lot of reading during the day, man. Yeah.
Well, during the day is not, because usually between 9 and 6, I'm always just when I'm working. But yeah, my reading during the day is usually about 3 hours every day. So I try to fit in about like an hour of fiction and 2 hours of technical books. Yeah.
Wow, that looks chill. Okay. So that's how Elijah's day looks like. I think he reads more than I do, to be honest. I think I read now. I see someone who reads more than me, and it's really cool, you know. So thanks for that. The next section we'll be talking about is, you know, as developers, as anyone in any field, there are challenges we face every day, or some days might be challenge free, some days might be full of challenges or issues or things that make you want to take your laptop and hit it on the ground. What are those things for you?
Right. So for me, usually what I find challenging is when I'm unable to just get into the flow and just do what it is that I'm supposed to do. So sometimes it's a little bit harder to focus. When you're distracted, my mind is wandering and I just can't focus. That's my biggest challenge. And I don't have much of a fix for it. If I wake up one day and I discover that I can't focus on my work, then it's an off day. That's right. That's what I call
it. You see, it's an off day. I want to be like you when I grow up.
I just wake up. Well, the tasks still stack up, right? I still have to respond to messages or review PRs, but I just can't code that day. So then it's probably just movies or maybe I'll have some friends over, or just go visit some friends and just basically have some fun till I feel like if so usually if I start the day and I just can't focus, sometimes in the evening that's when I feel like I can do it, or maybe not at all, and then it's the next day. So that's a challenge for me. I would just like to be able to maybe wake up. I mean, you hear about Elon Musk, 80 hours a week working. And I'm asking myself, how do you work 80 hours a week? I can't even imagine it, right? It would just be fun to wake up one day and know that 9 to 6, you just focus on like a machine, getting things done. And then the next day, 9 to 6 again, then the next, and every day you're just getting it done. But that's just fiction.
Yeah, total fiction. Yeah. It doesn't happen.
Exactly.
Because there are days I don't feel like working at all for like 3 days stretch. Like, I'm totally turned off. Like, I put on my system, I have a couple of them on the table, and I just sit for hours, not knowing what to do. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing nothing no more. I pick up my tablet, I go Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix. I mean, that's the solution, right? I mean, it's YouTube. Sometimes I'm watching, you know, I mean, I'm watching like skits, maybe Key and Peele or Thailand, Trip and Tyler, or Saturday Night Live clips on YouTube. Just, you know, doing that I'm focused on my work again. So that's a challenge. But the others are just going to be what comes in the work itself, like trying to make an architectural decision on all those things. But I mean, that's just part of the work itself. I don't really have a lot of challenges like at work with my team, for example. My team is pretty, I work in a pretty dynamic team. Everybody's pretty good. I mean, I'm privileged to work with a pretty smart team. So if I'm having any issues technically, there's usually someone that can resolve it. And then we don't have like an asshole boss or an asshole project manager or something. Everybody, that's that part.
Then you're lucky.
yeah. So, you know, that just happens. I think one other thing you may call a challenge is that on my team, I happen to, usually when we are onboarding new clients, for example, I'm usually on some of the setup calls as a developer backup. And sometimes the clients are in the US and they want to have it maybe 10 a.m. Pacific time, for example, and that's 9 p.m. my time, or 10. And I don't like working that late, right? But you just have to, so that just happens like maximum once a week. So that happens, you know, just do like a 1 hour call and then in the evenings, and then that's it.
Okay.
But then again, my team is pretty nice. Usually that 1 hour, the next day, I get to not work for like an hour, for like the same duration. Yeah,
that's chill.
You know,
that's chill. So on my team also, if I get to travel on a weekend, for example, let's say I travel for work on a weekend, and normally I'm not supposed to work on a weekend, but that traveling is actually part of work. What happens is I can take the next full day off, or I can decide any day to take off my work schedule and just take that day off, rest and chill. It's really good to have a nice team.
Yeah.
That's what we pray for.
Yeah, that's nice.
All right, okay. So those are some of the challenges Elijah faces in his daily life as a dev, as someone who writes code, who supports his customers. Also, the last part of what we normally talk about is for folks trying to get into the field of software development, how do they get started? What tips do you have for folks that are starting, or folks that are not that senior yet or don't have a clue of where to go? They are just learning the programming language because one brother told them, JavaScript is great, Python is great, and they start learning it. What advice would you have for them?
Okay, I mean, for the most important advice for me would be to, and it's something that someone told me myself when I was just starting out, is to stay grounded. That's what he said, stay grounded. And the way I interpreted it was, don't rush, focus on the basics, build the foundation. And I think that in anything, that's just really important. And you need to be clear with yourself on what it is that you want, that you're doing. Do you want to be a software engineer? And do you want to be a really good software engineer? Or do you just want to code for 1 or 2 years and then leave software engineering and then maybe go start a company and become a CEO or go into business or what? Because when you have your motivations right, then that can always guide you. If you really focus on being a good software engineer, then you need to focus on the basics and not rush things. I mean, it's good to also have, so when you're starting out, I know a lot of people like to like focus on maybe backend engineering, for example, and then have a stack, maybe Node and MySQL, for example, or if you're with their front end, just pick React or something, and then not even bother to understand the paradigms and the other technologies. So I think that when you're starting out, it's a good idea to spend like 1 or 2 years just being a generalist, basically. Pick Golang, for example, that's a compiled typed language. Pick JavaScript that's interpreted and non-typed. Pick Python that's Python is something else on its own. So just pick Java, for example. Java is object-oriented and compiled as well. And all these languages have their own philosophies, they have their own design principles. Just understand how all these things work. Work with MongoDB, work with Postgres, work with Cassandra. So just try to understand how all of these technologies work together. If you're going to focus on the front end, understand what React does, what Angular does, what Vue does differently. And you know, if you're working on API design, understand how RESTful APIs work, understand gRPCs. So just understand all the different technologies as much as you can. And never stop learning, even when you eventually find a stack that you feel most comfortable with. You still have to, once in a while, just pick a book on something, maybe a blog post on something that you've been wanting to learn. And you know, just stay really grounded, right? Always learning, always thinking about how to improve yourself. And then the point where you feel like there's nothing more to learn, are you good? That's the dangerous point where you start get, you know, complacent and stop improving yourself, because there's always something to learn. There's always something to learn, right? There are some things that when you're working in a startup, for example, there's some habits that are not enforced. For example, if you work in a startup, people aren't really going to emphasize you writing tests for your code, for example, or setting up a good deployment pipeline, especially if you have a lot of independence or if you're a freelancer and you're delivering a project with a client. You don't have to write tests for them. I mean, that was, so when I started, I would have clients wanting an API to do this, an API to do that, and I'll just code it up. I didn't have to write tests. I didn't have to work with Docker. I didn't have to learn any one of these things. But for me, I just took it as, okay, even if the client isn't requesting that, I mean, I do things that can make me better, I'm still going to invest in my learning and just try to make this software really good, even though there's really no expectation. So that was when I started picking up the basics of test-driven development on my own, when I started working with Docker. And I mean, that was just me working on something that the client didn't even request. All they wanted was the service running in the cloud. But that was, so, you know, so I was just playing around with all those technologies, working with Elastic Container Service. When I started working with Go as well, that was just me deciding to do a client project in Go. At that point, I had worked with PHP, Node.js, but Go looked really interesting to me. So I was like, you know, let me work with Go for this project and learn it. So that was good. The language is really easy to pick up. And then, you know, so all those principles, they are very important. For example, one of the things that I like to tell people is that code is for human beings, right? When you're writing code, you can write something in like 5 different ways. Mm-hmm. You can write, yeah, I mean, if you want to write code to do something, for example, you can write a single line that is going to get it done and it's going to be efficient, but it's going to be extremely unreadable.
Yeah.
Right? and you can break you can break that one line, you can make it like 3 or 4 lines that does the same thing without any loss in efficiency, but it's much clearer. And if you have to pick between one of the two, I mean, you always go for the option that is much clearer for people to understand. I always feel like, and that's something Donald Knott is a software engineer. I mean, he wrote the Art of Programming books. He calls it literate programming. So you're writing code that can be read, you know, kind of like literature, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's the goal. But but you just do your best. Just look over it and try to see, ensure that somebody can actually read this code. It's going to make sense. No, it may be that it's just a project that you're doing on your own. Nobody may ever check it. But all these principles that you're building on your own, when you're working on a team, for example, those are the things that are really going to help you grow as a developer. And it's a process that takes time. So it's very important not to rush the process and not to feel frustrated when you have a setback, or when you reach a level that you feel like you want to push forward, but you're finding it hard to push forward. So at that point, that's just like one of those points where you just stick to it and not get frustrated, not giving up. You know, over time, it's all going to pay off. It's all going to pay off in your career. So that is just my advice for planning. Wow. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Elijah, for coming on the show. I've learned some few things, even though you might decide to believe it or not. It's up to you. I've learned from you today.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
So once again, thank you for coming. Thank you for actually leading the call. I hope when next we try to bring you on, of course, you are on the next episode, so you will answer us. So listeners, we've been listening to Elijah Oyekunle. It's been nice having him on the show, and there are a lot of tips to catch on. If you miss some things, you can go back, rewind, play it all over again, and you can get along with that. So that's it on today's episode of This Dev Life. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again next week.
Thanks for joining this episode of This Dev Life. Make it a date on the next episode of This Dev Life, where we talk things dev and life.